Hello, and welcome to Living Fit with your hosts, James and Karen Roberts, personal trainers, life coaches, and motivational speakers. This program promotes good health through nutrition and physical activity. If you are interested in starting a personal fitness training program, please contact either Karen Roberts at 336-202-2313 or James Roberts at 336-707-7719. You can also contact them at Facebook at livingfit.com.co. Please consult your medical doctor before starting any exercise program or nutritional plan. And now, here's James and Karen.
Hi, thank you so much for joining me for this week's Fit Tip. Today, I want to talk about quality foods that lead to longevity. So the last two tips were basically about how to enjoy the holidays and eat healthy simultaneously. But now I want to give you a tip that would hopefully motivate you to keep going even after the holidays. And that would be focusing on the quality of the food we eat. The quality of our diet is directly associated with extending lifespan, lowering heart disease, diabetes, cancer mortality, and so much more. Studies have found people who live in areas known as the blue zones seem to have figured this out. Blue zones are the five regions that have people who live the longest on this earth. Residents of the blue zones produce the highest rate of centenarians, meaning people over 100 years old. They suffer a fraction of the diseases that commonly kill people in other parts of the developed world, and they enjoy more years of good health, meaning they are not living sick and on medications like so many in the Western so-called developed world. And they are productive citizens. The Blue Zones are located in Sardinia, Italy, Okinawa, Japan, Loma Linda, California, Nicoya Peninsula, Costa Rica, and Icaria, Greece. And in fact, back in 2009, it was found to have the highest percentage of 90-year-olds on the planet were located in Greece, where nearly one out of three people make it into their 90s. Furthermore, Icarians have about 20% lower rates of cancer, 50% lower rates of heart disease, and almost no dementia. Blue Zone residents share many characteristics, one of them being the food that they eat. They are semi-vegetarian, meaning they eat mostly, not all, fruits and vegetables. They are all built on a common core of diet rich in plant foods, whereas opposite food patterns, in other words, rich in animal foods and poor in plant-based foods, are associated with higher risk of getting numerous diseases. Blue Zone residents nutritionally center their diets around plant foods. Fruits, vegetables, whole grains, nuts, and beans, reserving meat mostly for special occasions. In fact, the population with perhaps the highest life expectancy in the world, the California Adventists, don't eat meat at all. So we already know that vegetarians live longer because a purely vegetarian diet might not be easily embraced by many individuals. It may be easier to swallow if we just tell people to eat more plant-based foods and fewer animal-based foods. Well, Michael Greger, MD, New York Times bestseller, world-renowned speaker, and founding member of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine, confirms there was a study done about that. And the study shows that people were given points for any time they ate vegetables, nuts, grains, beans, olive oil, potatoes, and then they were docked for any animal fats they ate, eggs, fish, dairy, or any other type of meat products. And the research concluded that a modest change is realistic, affordable, and achievable. In fact, a sizable portion of the population was already eating that way. Many just had to change the way the food was prepared. For example, switching from fried to baked potatoes. So one can get significant survival benefits without a radical shift to eating just plant foods. And the study showed as much as a 41% drop in mortality rates in the United States, which would mean saving the lives of hundreds of thousands of Americans every year. Now, I know that everyone is different, but if you want to dramatically increase your chances of living a long, healthy, productive life, incorporate a clean eating regimen and watch your health flourish. So I pray that this message has been a blessing. Pass it on to family and friends, and remember to tune in to Living Fit with James and Karen Roberts today and every Tuesday at 11 a.m. on 100.7 FM, The Joy. So be safe and have a terrific Tuesday.
Thank you, Karen. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Living Fit with James and Karen Roberts. Today, we want to continue talking about how we can better get our health. That's the importance of everything we do. There's no one thing. It's a combination of things that leads us to good health. For that reason, I wanted to give you the definition of nutritional health. Nutritional health is maintained by a state of balance in which nutrition intake and requirements are balanced. Malnutrition occurs when net nutrition intakes corrected for abnormalities, large fecal or urinary losses are less than requirements. So good nutritional status depends on eating the right amounts and the right variety of safe, good quality foods to meet our individual nutritional needs. Food provides the energy, the nutrients needed to support all body functions and maintain good health and carry out everyday activities. But we also have to include the definition of wellness. Nutritional wellness is the celebration and education of cooking, and healthy food choices, its impact on our mental health, and exploring the physical and emotional relationship humans have with our food. So what is the medical definition of wellness? Well, wellness is an act of practicing healthy habits on a daily basis, attain better physical and mental health outcomes, so that instead of just surviving, you're thriving. To understand the significance of wellness, it's important to understand how it's linked to our health. In 1 Corinthians 6:12, it says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything." The Apostle Paul says again in 1 Corinthians 10:23, "All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up." I need to build a good foundation for my health on a daily basis. Proverbs 14, 12 through 15 says, "There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. Even in laughter the heart may ache, and rejoicing may end in grief. The faithless will be fully repaid for their ways, and the good reward rewarded for theirs. The simple believe in anything, but the prudent gives thought to their steps." When you go out and purchase food, you need to realize, I need to give thought to what I'm buying and what it is, its benefit or their positive or negative to my health. Some of you seem to believe that just because you can eat anything and everything, even fatty foods, without putting on pounds, while others are completely different, that you are in better condition than they are. But metabolic diseases don't just happen to overweight people. They happen to all of us. We already know that we see people around us falling out from sicknesses because of poor nutrition. And for us to really be successful, we have to be willing to do one of two pains, either the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. Some people metabolize sugar better than others. Depending on some factors such as genetics, a person may or may not digest the lactose in milk or produce high or low levels of cholesterol. The specific composition of the gut determines the extent to which each of us can digest what we eat. Energy is extracted from the same 100 calories depending on whether or not certain types of bacteria are present in our gut flora. The bacterial balance is, in turn, the result of the food consumed and the person's genes and environment. So the environment that we live in, the gene pool that we have, may have an effect, but it's really how much of the good nutrition we put in our bodies. And therefore, in nutritional science today, it's increasingly concerned with the effect of food or a combination of several whole foods, not one isolated food, on the individual's health. And for this reason, calories, which have been the unit of reference used by nutritionists in the past for people, are no longer relevant. And over and above that, we do not consume nutrients directly. Instead, we consume food. And food behaves very differently depending on the nutrients it contains. And recently what we did was we had a meeting and we talked about this and we asked if there was any interest in learning about nutrition. And that's the reason for the inclusion of nutritional supplements in a lot of people's eating plans. They feel like if they supplement, they can do without eating all the necessary plant foods. It has been proven that when we have an eating plan rich in fruits and vegetables, it prevents cancer from developing. Not with supplements, because the question is, which nutrients found in these plants is responsible for this protection? The most likely assumption is undoubtedly the presence of so-called antioxidant molecules. And these molecules produced by plants to protect themselves from oxidation absorb free radicals. These are the waste products from our bodies. I will describe this absorption in more detail later if there's an interest in this. It's important because free radicals can damage our DNA and cause cancer. And based on these findings, scientists have developed supplements containing key antioxidants from fruits and vegetables and tested them on people with poor dietary habits. The results were very disappointing, and no health benefit was found from taking antioxidants. The scientists wondered why this was so. Is it the fiber or another component found in tomatoes that protects the antioxidant molecule from being broken down by stomach acid at the beginning of digestion? Is it because the antioxidants themselves? The ones that scientists isolated and then used in supplements may not be the right ones. Take, for instance, thyme leaves as an example. Scientists have identified up to 30 different molecules with antioxidant properties. Of these 30 molecules, broken down by digestion, while others affect how our gene is expressed or neutralize a free radical before it can disrupt a strand of DNA. To stick with this same example, scientists have known for a long time that daily consumption of thyme has a positive effect on health. That being the case, it's better to simply recommend that people eat thyme than to take a supplement with supposed antioxidant properties. So, you now understand the analytical complexity of nutritional science and the pitfalls caused by reducing food to a simple collection of nutrients. Modern nutrition science is much more concerned with the effects of a particular type of food on health, analyzes its effect on the body, such as how it affects blood sugar levels, blood in general, acid-base balance, or intestinal flora, and their bacterial diversity. In addition, to isolate nutrition, scientists have long studied foods out of context, providing to make this a mistake. This is not going to work. The combination of foods and the order a person ingests them can affect how the body metabolizes them. So, for example, the carbohydrates found in spaghetti are metabolized more slowly when served with meat. The fats, and especially the proteins in meat, lower insulin levels, and therefore the glycemic index, which we will also talk about if you are interested to know more later. Another interesting example is that drinking coffee after eating red meat reduces the absorption of iron from the meat. Olive oil added to tomato salad makes lycopene, an antioxidant found in tomatoes, more available to our bodies. All these points of confusion due to an uncertain development of nutritional science benefited the industry, which used them to develop products to sell in supermarkets. That's the reason why I tell people you can't just take one thing, one supplement, and get your health. So it's logical to conclude that food consumed by most people is far from what our grandparents ate. Now we can take a closer look at modern diets. This is where a nutrition coach like myself starts out with our clients, talking about nutritional guidance and suggestions to begin. The goal of what we talk about to our clients is about the emancipation of ourselves from the products that have made us sick and return to simple logical thinking about mostly based on eating foods without chemical additives. We know the modern Western diet and the disease of civilization is related because they were not present a few years ago. So thanks to the changes in nutritional science, most studies blame the Western diet for the increasingly poor health of the world population. The main characteristics of the Western diet are very high consumption of processed foods, meats, lots of fats added, and refined sugars, lots of additives and preservatives like salt. Few people are eating fruits and vegetables, whole, unprocessed, and unrefined seeds. A lot of people are eating high consumption of sugary drinks such as sodas, fruit juices, and coffee, with little pure water or herbal teas. And with the industrialization responsible for changing the way food is produced, the massive use of pesticides and monoculturals have significantly reduced food's nutritional value. Animal agriculture has been intensified so that the conditions are incompatible with good animal health. Cattle, chicken, sheep, fish, it doesn't matter. Antibiotics are used massively to control farm animals' diseases. And the basic feed is often replaced by feed made genetically, modified from soy or corn, or containing animal meal. And these changes have occurred primarily since World War II. As a result of all these changes in consumption patterns, Western diseases, the so-called disease of civilization, emerged very, very quickly. Heart disease, diabetes, hypertension exploded and were exploding immediately after the war. And gradually, people got fatter and fatter, more obese, and it became more widespread. I now need to turn to the so-called processed products responsible for the problems I have described before. If we want our health, the goal should be to eliminate them from our diets as much as possible. You see, processed food calories are toxic, without any nutritional value, because this goes hand in hand whether we have good health or not. Recent nutrition studies have proven that the more ultra-processed products people eat, the worse their health and the more weight they're going to gain. Ultra-processed products are defined as conventional foods that are processed involving multiple processing steps and techniques, including various ingredients, additives, flavorings, preservatives, all of which are chemical and toxic to our body, that are almost exclusively industrial. These products contain more than 5 ingredients. Prepared foods can be canned or frozen, like pizzas, candy bars, cookies, industrial breads, breakfast cereals, appetizer cakes, ready-to-eat desserts, sauces, and candy. These products account for 60% of most Americans' daily diet. At the same time, a Brazilian study showed that when more than 13% of daily calories come from ultra-processed products, the risk of obesity significantly increased, and along with disease. And the more steps of a process goes on, the more manufacturing process, the lower the nutritional value. And it loses many nutrients the body needs to live, grow, renew, and repair the cells. These products have retained their energy value and often contain many calories. As the body lacks essential nutrients, it demands more and more to compensate for the deficiency. So it makes us hungry. We are getting food, we're just not being satisfied. People consume more calories. The consequences of this mechanism is that a person who consumes many processed products often gains weight, which can lead to obesity epidemic getting worse every day. These are foods with empty calories. The depletion of the nutrients in the body prevents the cells from functioning properly. The health and the vitality and the energy of our body decreases, and the person develops one or more of the Western diseases. The Western disease is defined as a consumption of processed products with the following characteristics. Refined whole foods. This is one of the main characteristics of the modern diet, the consumption of increasingly refined foods, especially carbohydrates. White flour, white sugar, white rice are used extensively by the food industry without considering their nutrients. This type of process destroys some of the flour's most valuable nutrients, including much of its protein, fiber, folic acid, and other vitamins and antioxidants. Omega-3 fatty acids are also being destroyed. We go from complexity to simplicity. At every stage, from the harvest to the table, industrialization involves a process of chemical and biological simplification. Industrial fertilizers and pesticides grossly simplify the biochemistry of our soil, making it poorer. We just can't get what we used to out of our soil because we have depleted the nutrients, and this will lead our food to have little nutritional value. As we have seen, processing whole foods through refining chemical preservation and canning destroys many nutrients. What we've done is we went from quantity over quality, increasing production with the goal of producing the cheapest possible products means sacrificing the nutritional quality of our food. In today's food, vitamin C content has dropped by as much as 20%, iron content by as much as 15%, and calcium content by as much as 16%. For instance, an organic apple contains up to 3 times more iron than an apple from intensive farms. You must eat 3 times as many regular apples to get the same nutritional value as an organic apple. For this reason, in recent epidemiological studies, 30% of people with the Western lifestyle are deficient in vitamin C, vitamin E, vitamin A, and magnesium. In addition to these low vitamin mineral levels, it has also been found that organically grown produce contains more antioxidants. Plants naturally produce these to defend themselves against insects and disease. And these molecules are powerful anti-inflammatories and have important positive effects on the human body. But more than that, I will be able to discuss this if it's a point that you want to hear. Look, because plants in organic farms are not sprayed with synthetic pesticides, they are forced to define themselves. So they tend to produce between 10% to 50% more antioxidants modules than plants in intensive production. To compensate, consumers must eat more of these foods, which has increased their calorie consumption by over 600 calories since 1980. You now understand why we inform our clients for the need to remove these products from their daily diet or their daily eating plan as much as possible. I must study this regularly as I need to understand myself the concepts so that I can tell my clients how they can better gain their help. The reassuring good news is that if you're willing, most of the Western diseases and the symptoms resulting from the bad Western diets are totally reversible. I am so excited to tell you about a study that will help you understand the impact of these foods on our health. More importantly, how quickly you can turn your health from sickness and disease to positive mental and physical health. Luke 17:28 says, "And the world will be as it was in the days of Lot. People went about their daily business, eating and drinking, buying and selling, farming and building, until the morning Lot left Sodom. Then fire and burning sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Yes, it will be business as usual, right up to the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Or that day, a person out on the deck of the roof must not go down into the house to pack. A person out in the field must not return home." Bishop Desmond Tutu had this to say: "There comes a point where we need to stop just pulling people out of the river. We need to go upstream and find out why they're falling in. If you keep doing the same things, you're going to always get the same results. And the most valuable thing you have is your health. And if you don't do something about it quickly, as I said before, either you have to suffer the pain of discipline or suffer the pain of regret." Karen, I appreciate you listening each week, and I pray that this is beneficial to you, that it will get you on the right road, especially to changing your thinking about what you feed your family. God bless you and have a blessed week. Keep living fit and doing what matters. And hopefully you'll come back next week and listen to more of the nutritional balancing of our health. Thank you so much for listening. For James and Karen, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Living Fit. Please consult a physician or fitness professional before beginning any activity if you are under their care. If you would like to contact James or Karen, you can do so through the website, Facebook at livingfit.com.co, or call. Until next time, keep living fit and do what matters. Thank you.